Well, this morning, we could have just ended actually with that, because the very songs that they were singing, at least to me, were songs that I want to speak to you about, that it might be transforming. I called this, the title is Keys to Living for Christ. While I was preparing this, a joke came to mind that I remember years ago about these pastors, because, you know, Lance, you know how tax people talk about other tax people, right? That's all you know. It's all you know. And so all my jokes have a pastor in them or something, or a rabbi or something happening in the story. But anyway, there was these pastors got together, and they decided they needed to be more accountable. They needed to be more honest. They needed to reveal and to share what's really going on in their heart and get rid of all hypocrisy. So they agreed to that, and the one said, well, you go ahead. And the pastor, he said, well, I just need to tell you, I've been drunk many times while I was preaching. He said, I had a couple of DIUs, and he said, Terry, help me out. I know, as soon as I said that, and drinking under the influence, anyway. And he said, I was pulled over, and he said, I've been charged. They said, whoa. Well, thanks for sharing that, though. That's pretty scary stuff, but thanks for sharing that. So I look at the second guy. I said, what about you? He said, well, I've been stealing from the offering. He said, every week I just skim a little off. He said, you know, my retirement's not going to be that much, so I get a little over here. You know, some for God, some for me. And so he said, I feel I should tell you that I've been stealing. And they said, ooh, that's pretty serious, but okay, I'm glad you shared that. I look at the third guy. They said, well, why don't you share? And he said, well, I've been having an affair with the choir director. He said, really? Yeah. He said, I just, you know, we got kind of attracted. He said, but the problem is people in the choir are starting to find out about this, and I don't know how this is going to end, but he said, I just want to tell you that I've been having this affair. This other, whoa. The last guy said, well, there's one more. Why don't you share? He said, no, it's just, I don't think we need to. I think we kind of got the drift. Don't think we need to share anymore. No, listen, that was our agreement, that we'd all be honest and really just get it out there where we can see it and where God can see it and where everybody can see it. So go on, you tell us. We told you, now you tell us. Well, he said, here it goes. He said, I have this terrible, horrific struggle with gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here. So if it so happens that you just can't wait to get out of here, I'll know why. I'll know why. I want to read in a row. I want to read three scriptures. And I hope I'm somehow under the influence while I'm preaching. That would help. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. If you have a King James, you will be reading about Matthew Lowe's favorite verse. Just coming up here in just a moment. Verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And here's the verse. This is what we want to, this is the text here today. All I've commanded you, and Matthew, he reads it, it's always, lo, I am with you always. So he thinks that's his verse. Lo, I am with you always. Behold, I am with you always. Always to the end of the age. I'm with you always to the end of the age. Now, with that in mind, turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 14. John chapter 14, and I want to break in at this verse, at verse 23. And it reads like this. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him. Get this right. Just capture this. We will come to him and make our home with him. We will come to him and make our home with him or within him. And then one more, if you would, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is one of those wonderful passages that you can go back to so many times. There's just so much in here. I discovered other things while I was looking for this verse. And I'm going to preach on that maybe in the weeks ahead. But here it is. Break into verse 5. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, for he has said. Now I'm going to phrase that. He has said. Later we're going to read why we can say. But he has said, I will never. And apparently in the Greek it's I'll never ever. Never ever ever. It's just really emphasized. I will never leave you. Nor will I ever, ever forsake you. So we can confidently say, because he has said that, we can say this, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Why? Because the one who said, I will never, ever leave you, that's the one thing you can count on. I will never, ever leave you. So what do we have? What are these keys? I put these down in terms of all the people I know that I've read about and read their books, and the people that I know that I've grown up with and was trained under and lived with and fellowship with, and all those type of things and people over the years, is we share secrets. You know, there are secrets. There are insights. Maybe that's a better word. Insight is a better word than secret. But there's insights. And boy, I'll tell you, over the years, folks, I can honestly say, boy, those insights have done me a world of good. People that I respect who walk close to God, who talk about the Lord often and share his life, and when they tell me something, say, you know what, I've discovered in my life, and you know, you can see that they're struggling like anybody else in life, but yet not. And they'll tell you this. And over the years, you start accumulating things to say, that is an insight about how to make this thing work, how it works, how does it make you become like Christ and give you victory in your life. So I've called this keys to living for Christ. Like all of these young people up here, wouldn't you love to be able to say that 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, they're all tracking strong with ministries and making an impact wherever they would be. You say, wow. They discovered the insights for successful living, right? That's what we wish and long for, that my light, I'm wishing that my light will never go out until Jesus takes me home, be a bright light burning, and that the same principles that that someone told me that I can tell you and you tell others and we all share together on these things. But it all funnels down to this one thing, that we have an almighty Christ who does actually come into people's hearts. This is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, living his life, minding his own business, setting up shop within us and leading us and guiding us. But he actually does come into people's hearts. So in other words, it's more than just this. These are the beliefs of Christianity. We could list those. There are beliefs, but that's not the essence of it. It is not about what you know as much as what you have experienced. And we have an almighty Christ who comes into our lives and makes a difference, makes it a profound difference. Because what it is that we come into the presence of Jesus. It's always that way. So for example, Bible study, personal devotions. You can read your Bible if you want, and it's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing. You can have a prayer time, but it won't mean anything, and it will have no life unless you come into the presence of Jesus. Right? It's not just a matter of read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. Neglect your Bible, refuse to pray, and you shrink. I remember those. I remember enjoying those. Right? But it's not entirely true, because you must come into the presence. You must touch the one who lives within us. And as we do that, as we come into the presence of Jesus and we wait on him, and he will reveal himself to us. That's his promise, that I will be with you and I'll be in you and I'll reveal myself to you. So the secret of the Christian's strength, right? The secret of the Christian's joy is simply the presence of the Lord Jesus. It won't be enough, using these guys as a good example, this won't be enough that they have a Bible time and that they have a prayer time. It must be, did they touch Jesus? Were they experiencing his life and his power and his strength? Because if not, they've been through a religious catechism. Right? Is it read this, answer that, question, answer. Say, well, we got it right because we read our Bible. Well, again, I can't be against Bible reading. I can't be against prayer. Surely or not. No, of course not. But what I am suggesting is that the intimacy, we must touch the Lord, the one who said, I will never leave us nor forsake us. It's the presence of the Lord Jesus. So when you come to Matthew 28 and 20, he said, I will be with you. That was his last word. Last word before he left for heaven. I will be with you, Owen. Here's the deal. When you opened your heart, I came in to live my life through you. What a promise. What a promise. And no matter whatever happens to me, there's an investment the Lord has made in my life and your life. And he wants to live his life through us. So here's the question. Is having the constant presence of the Lord Jesus, right? Having the loving constant presence of the Lord Jesus, is it really possible? Is it really possible to a busy man, for those who are in business? I know most of you here. Many of you are in business. Is it possible to have the constant presence of the Lord to those who work in the marketplace? Or those who work in the medical field? Those who are busy? To a Terry who faces danger every day he goes to work as a police officer. Other people, as they work in ambulance or they work in a shelter, or there's different things. We all are in different places. Or a busy mother with four little children underfoot, and she's, you know, what is this presence of Jesus thing about? So that's the question. Is it possible to be a busy housewife with little children, or a CEO or anything else that we would be? Can I always be thinking about Jesus? And the answer is no. No, you cannot always be thinking about Jesus. But I say, don't worry about that, because Jesus will always be thinking of you. Right? Jesus will always be thinking of you. Not to worry. He will think of you. He will think of you. And because that's what this is, intimacy is about. He will think of you, and he will come in, and he will take charge of you. He will take charge of me if I let him, if I yield to him. So it's a promise from God, and I just wrote it as a prayer. If the Lord was saying this, he would say, my child Owen, my child Rex, my child Lance, my child Bernice. He would say this. He would say, I, the faithful one, I, the mighty one, will remain with you and keep you every day. I will keep you. It is not a matter of you keeping yourself. I will keep you. And as you appropriate that to your life, there will be changes and difference. So today, I'm able to say to those that might be here, that one that might be here, to the fearful one, somebody fearful, what if I, you know, what I can't see? What if I don't keep up with the rest? What if I can't be as spiritual as the others? And what if I don't remain faithful? What if I don't hear his voice? You know, all the fears that we might have. Or I might speak this morning to the anxious one, or the worried one about, will I be holy enough? What if I'm not holy enough? You know, all the things that we struggle with. So I would say this to you. Instead of indwelling sin, which we could dwell on, right? We could talk about indwelling sin, indwelling sin, indwelling sin. But I would suggest, instead of indwelling sin, there's an indwelling Christ who conquers it. It's not my job to conquer indwelling sin. It's the Lord's job to conquer it. Instead of indwelling sin, there's the indwelling life, the indwelling light, the indwelling love of the blessed Son of God. That's the focus. Say, what about indwelling sin? What about indwelling sin? I said, I reckon. Well, what about the indwelling Christ, who has come not only to deal with sins on the cross, but to deal with sins in my own heart? And so, just for example, he is the secret of holiness. I mean, we say we need to be more holy, and who can disagree with that? As a church, what is revival? People becoming more conscious of their lack of holiness. But can we not even have our own personal, while we're waiting for revival, is it not possible to have our own revival? I suspect it is. That I can live in perpetual revival from now till Christ comes. right? If I allow the Holy One to work in my life. So he, in other words, Christ is made unto us. It's not a matter of me attaining it. He has made, how do I know it? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 30. He's made unto us sanctification. Wow. He's made unto it. All I need, and wisdom and righteousness. All that I need. Christ my righteousness. Yes, indeed. But also Christ my sanctification. The same one who provided salvation provides sanctification as well. Christ himself. See, it's not a matter that we say, Lord, more holiness, more holiness, more holiness. Lord, more holiness, more holiness, more holiness. No, I don't think so. I don't think that's how it is. Christ himself, he doesn't dole out holiness and then patience and then faith. He doesn't dish it out like that. He is it. He is holiness. He is my sanctification. It comes in the person. It doesn't come as something outside. It comes to me because someone inside of me is holy. Someone lives inside of me, lives inside of you. And so you have as much of holiness as you have of Christ. How much holiness do you have? Tell me how much of Christ you have. Then I will know. Then you will know. Then we'll all know. And so Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11, again, Hebrews, who can't escape it? It's just so rich. Both he that sanctifies, this is King James, I just like the this on it. Behold, he that sanctifieth, he that sanctifieth, the Lord Jesus, and they that are sanctified are all of one. Of course they are all of one. So we say to each other, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourself with Jesus. Let it clothe yourself with Jesus. Say, oh, Lord, thank you. In me, behind me, under me, over me, from me. Thank you, Lord. Always with me, Lord. Producing that in me which I cannot produce myself. Can't produce it. Try as I might. But I can put on Christ. And that is the answer. Christ sanctifies us. How does he do that? If I am to be, if 2012 is going to be a year of great sanctification in my life, you say, boy, just, you know, something, God really doing something in Owen's life or Kim's life or someone else's life, Brian's life. It's just, whatever it happens, we know this, that Christ sanctifies us by bringing God's life into us. That's how he does it. He sanctifies us by bringing God's life into us. So we simply acknowledge that Christ is with us. And get this, if you would, because I think it's important. And on us. And in us. And around us. And behind us. And over us. We acknowledge that. We acknowledge that. Lord, thank you that you were with me. You were on me. Praise God, you were on me. The Spirit is on me because the Holy One lives in me. And he's in me. At all times, he's in me. And so the exhortation is, be clothed with Christ completely. That is the answer for successful walk with God, to be clothed with Jesus. As you walk out, as I walk over from my little journey, I say, Lord, thank you that the Spirit is on me and in me and around me. Thank you, God. Praise you. I love you. I thank you, Lord, just for this wonderful thoughts of how you want to work in my life. I see, what concerns me is that many try to obey a distant Christ. You know, Lord, if you could just help me. I know you're there. I read it somewhere, and there's a scripture that even says that. So they're trying to obey a distant Christ. And as a result of that, many struggles, little blessing and less power. Trying to, you know, obey at this, what I call a distant Christ. Why is that a problem? They are not allowing the living Jesus to fill their hearts completely. That's the secret. The living Christ must fill my heart completely every day, and I must acknowledge that. Say, thank you, Lord, my heart is filled today. And on me, in me, with me, around me, over me, behind me. Christ within, Christ without, Christ above, Christ below, Christ in everywhere. Right? That's it. My focus is not on holiness for 2012. My focus is on the Holy One, who will bring about and must bring about all that I need for my growth in holiness and for any other area for that matter. So Imagine having the very spirit and presence of Jesus upon you. Upon you. He said, I'm going to come to you. And remember, when I come to you, I will never leave you. This is the inside of it, of Christ within. Imagine it, though, the very spirit and presence of Jesus upon us. And as a result of that, an unseen, silent influence comes out from you. As you make your way over to the post office, and there's a long lineup of people still trying to get their letters, just as an example. Because I saw people lining up, and I thought, I wonder what those conversations, what they're talking, and but it's mostly it was about Christmas. But it's, imagine that if you said, Lord, I thank you that you're in me, on me, with me, surround me, watching over me, living your life through me. I thank you for that. If there's anybody here you want to have a conversation with, Lord, if any of this, if you want to silently just come, if you want to come out of me, as it were, this unseen, silent influence coming out. Why? Because I bring Jesus. You bring Jesus. That he lives, he's living his life. It's not of me say, oh, Lord, I don't think it's the Lord be with me. He said, I'm already, that's already accomplished. I am with you, in you, on you. I can't be any more apart. And I want you to know that I will never, ever, 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 this is not going to change. It will always be this way. So the continual presence of Jesus, that's in my mind is what, why you'll still, while I'll still be serving the Lord 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, Lord, really grant me that long. Why? Because living in the presence of Jesus, the living presence of Jesus. Not trying to be religious, not trying to attain to anything, just loving him, yielding to him every day as we would together. That is how, I think, how this works. So the continual presence. So the question is, how can I know that he'll always be with me? You say, well, okay, I hear you. This is what you're saying, is that the Jesus within is the answer. Yes, he's the answer to everything. Always has been, always will be. It's not determined that you're going to live for him. It's determining that he's going to live in you. See, because I know how it works. We'll all come forward. We can do that. And there's nothing wrong with that in itself. We all come forward, and we're going to make ourselves say, Lord, here we are. We're going to try real hard. This is going to be the best year ever. And here we are to even line up to make sure it happens, right? So Brian and Minnow and I, we all come forward and we stand here and we say, okay, this one, not last year, it wasn't so good, but this will be better because we're going to try harder. We're going to work at this a little bit. We're going to really be a holy. This is the year of holiness in Valley Church. Well, nothing wrong with that in one way because we get it. But you know and I know that after a while, I need something more. But I already have something more. And that's the point of what I'm trying to say here today. So it's not a matter of coming forward and saying, Lord, I'm going to try harder. It's a matter of saying, Lord, I thank you for the revelation of Christ in me. And I am looking only, Lord, only, 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 only to the Lord Jesus for this. So how do we do this? So at 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 50 years from now for some of you, how is this going to work? That you will be vibrant and fresh and Jesus will be center and real and powerful and precious and beautiful and everything good, because he is. That's why I was leaping for joy this morning, because the songs were all about what I was just going to be speaking on here. It's beautiful. It's wonderful when that happens. So number one, let me just give you what I think is the secret, the insight. Number one, continual belief. Continual belief. Do I have a responsibility here? Is it like waiting on a bus? You know, no, it's not waiting for like a bus. It's not like that at all. It's very active. We believe by faith. I don't know if that's in your notes, but it should be. We believe by faith. By believing, I open my heart to receive this glorious Lord. And so my prayer sounds maybe something like this. Jesus, I believe in your glory. I believe in your power. Lord, I believe in your living, loving presence. I believe in it. Your living, loving presence. And I am sure that you're taking care of me completely. I'm sure you're taking care of me completely. Now, that kind of a prayer, you see, it's faith-filled. Lord, I believe in your glory. I believe in your power. Lord, I believe in your living, loving presence. So it's a faith thing. by faith. I believe that. I believe that he's taking care of me completely as I go into my 60s. I believe that. That's my faith. I believe, Lord, your glory, your power, your might. And same for you, if you're young or old, you're in middle, single, doesn't matter what age you're in. It's the same thing. We believe. And by believing, I open my heart to receive this glorious Lord. It's a powerful thing. So every breath that we breathe in 2012, if we are going to do something, if we're going to respond to this new year, this new challenge, then what is it? Every breath ought to be spent just believing. I believe in your glory. I believe you're with me. I believe you're in me. I believe you're with or surrounding me. I believe you're directing me. I believe you're looking after me. So we every breath spent just believing. My Savior Jesus is around me and near me. And praise God, he lives for me in heaven. This gets just better and better and better. He lives for me in heaven. Why? Because he always lives to make intercession for me. Hebrews tells us that. So when you are startled, when you realize, you look at the throne in heaven, and if maybe you're not conscious of this, but I would allow me to make you conscious of it, is that in heaven, there are two on the throne. Have you contemplated that? Have you meditated on that? There are two on the throne. God the Father is on the throne, is he not? We have no problem. God is on his throne. But there's a blessedness to this. It's better than that. God the Father is on the throne, but you know and I know, and we could make this to a whole Bible study, the Lamb of God is on the throne. There's a Lamb. There's a Lamb in heaven. There's a Lamb on the throne. There's two on the throne. And you say, behold, I saw there was a Lamb in the midst of the throne. Of all the things that you would expect to see. And what about that Lamb? Well, the Lamb of God is for me every day. Every day. He's making intercession for me. Every day. My sins, though there be many, Jesus just says, Father, I died for those sins. Father, I died for those sins. Father, I died for those sins. I am perpetually making intercession for him and for all those that believe and trust in me. Wow. Isn't that amazing? You see, oh, Lamb of God upon the throne for me. For me. How beautiful is that? Jesus on the throne really is what it is. And because of that, I am marked by his blood. And he loves me. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is on the throne. Oh, it's so powerful. Marking me with his blood and loving me. So can you say this morning with me? I trust you'll be able to. Are you able to say with me this morning, my King is with me every day. Oh, my King is with me every day. My King is with me every day. He's with me, the King. The one who has, and that's why in Matthew 28, he says, I want you to get it clear, all authority, all, there is no other authority, in other words, than what I have. And I want you to know, all authority has been given unto me, and by the way, I will be with you forever. Thank you. Imagine. What's my part? To believe it. And tomorrow, to believe it. This afternoon, to believe it. Every moment, you see, this isn't some waiting for a bus mentality. It is actively every day. We simply trust, continually believing. Every breath ought to be spent just believing. That's what our job is to do. I believe that you're with me. Lord, you can handle this. You're looking after me. You're watching over me. You're with me. You're on the throne. Everything is fine. It's good. And I trust you. So number one, continual belief. By faith, isn't that how everything is lived? Is it lived by faith? And so we know that. Number two, continual obedience. Continual faith. Secondly, continual obedience. So the Lord would say here this morning, he would say to all of us, always obey. That's what he would say. Always obey. And so by the grace of God, and only by the grace of God, I might add, I'm going to obey in everything. Are you? Are you planning on it? I'm going to obey in everything. Why? Because I must obey. If I'm going to have a successful Christian life that bears fruit, touches lives, changes me, then I must obey. There's no discussing this. There's no sharing this. It's just what we decide. So we can say aloud, Jesus, I love to obey you. Because I'll say this to you because I do. I love to obey him. Can you say that in your heart? You don't have to put your hand up, but can you say, Lord, I love to obey you? Because that's what pleases him so powerfully, so much. Lord, I love to obey you. I want Christ to have my whole heart, my whole life, my whole being. I want to be like Christ. I want to obey. So we say, Lord, make me a real Christian. A real Christian. Make me think like a Christian, act like a Christian, behave like a Christian, be obedient like a Christian. Let me be consistent like a Christian. Let there be reality in my life here to believe and obey in everything. You see, the reason why the Christian life doesn't work for some, and again, not maybe these guys, maybe they'll track well, but my concern is, what will it be 5 years from now, 10 years from now? What will there be? And so there must be this decision that whatever else happens in my life, I'm going to be obedient. You'll do nothing greater to start a new year. Lord, I'm choosing obedience. I love to obey. Do I do it perfectly? No. Do I fail often? Yeah. Do I disappoint the Lord? I'm sure. But there's a lamb on the throne looking after that. Don't worry yourself about that. That's a provision taken care of. All that you must do, your part of it, number one is continually believe, but the second thing is to trust. To trust the Lord and be obedient to the Lord. Decide on it. Say, this year, God, I want you to know I want to be obedient. And where I fail, Lord, you know I want to be obedient. I blew it. Shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have done that. But Lord, my heart's desire is I wanted to be obedient. I can tell you one thing. This place would be unrecognizable, I suppose, if we all just decided, I must obey. I can't wait to make it up as it goes along. See if I will. Right? See if it's what I want it to be. I must decide right now that I am going to obey. So that's number two. That's a very active thing and very, very powerful thing. Thirdly, number one, I'm going to believe. Number two, I'm going to obey. Thirdly, I want to have close daily fellowship with Jesus. You see, the joy of friendship is found in fellowship, I think. It's found in fellowship. He wants time with me. And the reason he wants time with me is not so, have you had your devotions type of thing, but more, he wants time with me to give me new life, to give you new life and new joy and new strength. Why you must carve out a time is because Christ wants to do that for you. So there's fresh manna that the Lord would give you. He wants time with us. So we need more, but we need, in the light of that, we need more than Bible reading. We have our Bibles and we will read them, but we need more than Bible reading. We need more than prayer. So here's a prayer that it would be. I think it might even be in your notes. Lord, it's a new day again. Now I'm just as weak today as ever. Please come this morning and feed me with yourself and speak to my soul. Lord, speak to my soul this morning. Wow. Please come. Lord, I'm just as weak as I was the day before. And I'm going to be just as weak the next day. But I come to you. I come into your presence so that you can talk to me and share your life with me and do what you want in my heart, my life. But I'm available to you. A daily fellowship. See, it's not a matter of that you better have devotions or else. I think we would miss the point here if you go out here saying, well, another lecture, make sure we have our devotions. Yeah, I think we all want you to have your devotions. Everybody here wants the same for each other. But it would, to me, if that's all you had, if you had your devotions and had your prayer time, if you haven't let the Lord touch you, it will be a foggy memory. You'll be kind of still religious in your mind. And you know, we meet people all the time. Say, oh, I don't go to church anymore. I used to go to church, but I got turned off by them. Well, how did they get turned off? What happened that they got turned off? Something happened with their fellowship, right? I mean, not that it's not disturbing when people disappoint you we've all been there, right? There's some very discouraging things that have happened by God's people to each other. But I know this, that providing I'm plugging into him and allowing him to touch me, that stuff's almost doesn't even matter because not what I'm about. Yes, there are hypocrites. Yes, there are people that will hurt you. Yes, there will be disappointing moments. Hey, welcome to reality. But it doesn't have to take me away from God. Is there not a lot of people that are not in fellowship with Jesus that you meet and I meet? And I thought, what happened? I think they blew a tire on number three here. They weren't in fellowship. Oh, they might have been doing some religious thing. Folks, it's very easy to do religious stuff. Everybody who's even self-aware meditates, and everybody, they do things that are kind of spiritual. But to come into the living presence of the living, loving Christ, and allow him to touch me, so there's an anointing on my heart and on your heart, that's different. And then all that stuff is buzzing around just here, still disappointing, right? But it doesn't affect us. We're not going to leave any. We're not going to not walk with God. We're not going to not walk with God because some people decide not to walk with God. I'm going to walk with God because I want to be in close daily fellowship with him. And I must just confess, Lord, I'm as weak today as ever. Come this morning. Feed me. Feed me. Feed me. Feed me with yourself, Lord. That I touch the very throne. That I come into the Holy of Holies. So this living Jesus with whom we meet every day in fellowship, every day in worship, every day in love, we wait in his presence. And I would add a little note here. No matter how cold you feel, no matter how faithless, have you not say, boy, Lord, you know, hallelujah, and it kind of dribbles off your chin onto the floor. You say, what a pathetic prayer that was. I've had the Lord say to me, I'm not a statue. You know, that's what it sounded like he said to me. I'm not a statue. You're praying to a statue. Like I was going through motions. Talk to me. Pour your heart out to me. Fellowship with me. I want to touch you. Wait in my presence. And regardless how cold and faithless you are, you're able to say, Lord, helpless as I am, I believe and rest in the blessed assurance that you're filling me with your very self. So I must continuously draw near. Today, you must draw near. You say, well, I went to church. That's not the question. Did you draw near? That's the question. Did you rest in the blessed assurance that he's with you? Always, 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 always. So I must continuously draw near. I must choose to stay close. And that's what I would beg of you today for you to consider, that you are choosing to stay close to the resurrected one. That he will draw near. Oh, he's in us. He's around us. He's over us. He's everywhere. But I must choose to stay close. Why I can't do that? Because it won't keep me staying close. I can't take that more on because it will rob me. I won't have any time to stay close. That's what he wants, and that's what we want, to stay close. And all through this next year, to say, oh, Lord, a lot of things happened. Many times my heart was cold and faithless, but I wanted to draw near, and that's what we trust him for. Number four, continuous belief, continuous obedience, drawing close. Now number four, working for the Lord, or as he would say, working for me. So the presence of Jesus, I think this is true, I believe it is, that the presence of Jesus is intimately connected with work for Jesus. That you can't choose the one without the Lord choosing the other. So be willing to yield yourself for the Lord's work. Right? For the Lord's work. And what would that be? Well, we're all in the Lord's work. I was thinking as I walked over this morning, in fact, that long after I'm not a pastor in terms of job in a church, I will have work to do. Why? Because with intimacy comes the invitation to work, to pray for others, to help people, to witness, to share your love with others. That's what we do. And that's a secret. This is an insight that you can't simply be reading his word and praying and drawing near, as I've been talking about. You must also choose to work for him and say, Lord, here I am. If you could use me to encourage somebody, inspire somebody, help somebody, and, you know, just direct somebody in some way, that would be wonderful. That would be absolutely powerful. Okay, let me give two closing thoughts here. I think those four things of faith and obedience and fellowship and choosing to work for the Lord. Say, Lord, I am your servant. I've come to work for you. Live your life through me so that I do that. Oh, what a journey. What a great, great journey that can be. But there's two thoughts that I'd like to close on. Number one, well, maybe it might be labeled different on the screen, but number one, Christ is completely for us. You have to hammer that. You've got to get that right. You've got to get that right. I have to get that right. He's completely for us. Lo, I am with you. My Father and I will come and make our home with you. So, this is my promise, the Lord would say. Right? Christ is completely for us. And he would say, my promise to you is I give myself to you to be wholly yours. Now catch this. Every hour of every day to be with you and in you. Every moment to bless you and sustain you and give you the continual knowledge of my presence. He said, I make that my promise to you. That I am for you. I've come to live with you and in you and upon you. I'll never leave you. You've got to get that right. I believe the Lord would say to us that Christ is completely for us and willing to do all that's required to please him, that he will do through us. Oh, so, so rich, so powerful. So he says to us, I will be wholly, wholly, wholly yours. Completely. Completely. Now, if that be true, then let's finish off with the last point. If he will be wholly mine and yours, lastly, we are to be completely for him. And our prayer, oh God, breathe your presence into my heart, into our hearts, so that you may shine forth from our lives. Oh, so beautiful. Breathe your presence into our hearts so that you may shine forth from our lives. I was reading somewhere that in Africa, there's a certain group of people in Africa that when they receive Jesus as their Lord and their Savior and they renounce wickedness and they just choose Christ, that I think it just must be an African thing, but the writer was saying how they all fling themselves on the ground. Just flinging yourself down on the ground. And in the loudest, 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 loudest voice you can imagine, they just start shouting thanks to God. Just shouting. You know, praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, praise. Oh, it's in their language, right? And he said it's loud and powerful. And you say, What are they doing? It's how emotion is expressed. And we would say the same. Oh, God, breathe your presence into our hearts that you may shine forth from our lives. And maybe symbolically, maybe even physically, you might want to get on your face on the ground. And matter of fact, I would say between now and January 1st, it'd be great if you could pull my sleeve and say, oh, and I want you to know something, that I had some carpet time that I just laid myself on the floor. I said, God, whatever is going to happen this year, I'm yours. And you, if you want loud cries coming out, that would be powerful. Shouting unto God, God, I want to be completely yours. Sorry, Brian, didn't mean to wake you up. So I'd say, do this, would you? To get on your face on the ground and cry out, Lord, I'm yours. I give you my complete being. You, O everlasting Son of God, have come into my heart. To say, move over, Africans. I want to fling myself down on the ground too and shout with as loud as I can shout that the everlasting Son of God has come into my heart. Lord, I welcome you and I give myself to you. I thank you that you are completely mine. And now I want to be completely yours. Notice it's always him first. Herein is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us. Herein is love, not that we saw how the Lord cares about us and wants to come in and to change us. But that's his business. How he does that is entirely up to him. To me, I can't hardly over, I'm almost overwhelmed by a concept of a God like this. A God like this that would say, Owen, when we said let's make a deal, this was the deal. You give me all your sin. You give me all your depravity. And I'll give you me. What? Did I hear that right? Yeah. I'll give you me. In fact, I'll come in and live your life. Well, what about, no, don't worry about it. You just give me, just turn your life over. Trust me. Believe me completely. Be obedient to me completely. That's all you have to do. Just, Lord, I'm yours. Come into my presence so I can fill you with joy. So I can fill you. So you're not doing religious stuff. You're doing real stuff. You come out of your devotions and there's tears in your eyes because you have really connected. This living one who comes, he's not just saying, I did this, I did that. No, the question is, did you let him touch you? Because the whole life is about what he has done for us and what he's prepared to do for us by the power of the Holy Spirit in the years to come. He's not done. But I know that this is the secret. And around the world, if you were to take this age, telling me the secret of how to stay vibrant, how to keep the Gillette edge, they would say the same thing. It's universal. There's no, you can't leave out one of these. If you can't, you won't experience the aliveness and fullness of the Spirit of God, the simplicity of Jesus. And I love him so immensely because of that. The God that has given himself completely to me and says, I'm never, ever, ever going to leave you. So get used to it. You can't shake me off your trail in any way. I am with you. Wow. Wow. Stand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 The reality of the living, loving Christ. That's what Christmas is about. The living, loving Christ came to earth. Why did he come to earth? He came in a he came in a human body so he could come and live inside of us. And I think of a moment like this is I don't know how to give myself completely to him. I have such a strong urge to want to. Why? Because I get it. I get what he wants. I get it. You want to come and live inside of me forever, yeah. Never leave me, never own. What if I leave you? Don't worry about it. I'll hunt you down. How many know that? You turned your back, but he hunted you down. And turning from him would be the worst thing you ever did in your whole life. when you get an offer like this. You'd have to be bordering on insanity to turn away from a Christ like this. Is that not true? If this is true, dear ones, if this is true, what I said here this morning, how can we keep quiet about it? How can we not proclaim it? This God that will undertake for your salvation, the grace of this thing, the mercy of this thing is staggering in the extreme. And I don't know how to yield myself anymore. I mean, I don't know what I do. Do I fling myself on the floor and start shouting? Well, some Sunday I may do that and startle you all. Maybe I'll just go running through the church with some Jericho march or something and say, I just couldn't keep it up anymore. I just realized this is one more way that we can express our response to a God who loves us with that much intensity. So what I will say today, respond to him. Let him touch you this morning, even this morning. You've listened. Now just come into his presence. Just clothe yourself with Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Touch my heart this morning, God. Whatever is coldness in my heart, whatever is faithlessness in my heart, just touch me this morning. Thank you. You're the best. You're altogether lovely. I love you. I want to live for you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just say yes to you. Yes to your will. Yes to your ways. Lord, bless those Africans that know how to do that. Fling themselves and shout as loud as they can. That comes close to what we're talking about here. I pray, God, that this next year will be so unbelievably interesting because we've learned new ways of how to yield ourselves. Not new ways to try and work harder, but for you to express yourself more through us. Touch us and bless us. Thank you. Living, loving Savior. Everlasting Son of God. Thank you. Yeah, amen. Bless you all. Thanks for being here this morning. Tonight, if you want to, you can't come to the door tonight and expect turkey sandwiches. You have to go to this door today. And if you want one, you sign up and join us tonight. It's going to be a great night. But thanks for being here this morning. Will you give somebody a handshake or a hug? And then come out and have coffee with us on the patio. God bless.